This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. Today, I'm going to be discussing with my guest something called cardiac catastrophe. Now, while we know that heart attacks, for many of us, heart attacks are the most common cardiac event that we hear about. You know, when we talk about heart disease, we think about a heart attack. But then again, it's always shocking when you then hear news reports or read news reports about young or middle-aged people abruptly dying from sudden cardiac catastrophe or a cardiac arrest. Now, how is that different from a heart attack? How common is it? And what can we do to prevent it from happening? I'll be discussing that with consultant cardiologist Dr. Chong Yun Sin from Park City Medical Center. How are you today, Dr. Chong?
I'm fine. Yeah. Good afternoon to everybody. Yes.
Thank you so much for your time today. And if you have any questions for Dr. Chong, please call us. Our lines are open, 03-7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Dr. Chong, to start with, help us to understand what exactly do you mean by cardiac catastrophe or cardiac arrest?
The most common cause of death in Malaysia is actually heart attack. And a heart attack is a spectrum of disease. It can be from mild heart attack to the severe heart attack. And what we do not want is actually a cardiac arrest. All right. Basically, the end spectrum of heart attack is the heart stop. When the heart stops, you know, it's basically a catastrophe for everybody, including the family, the patients, the country, and everyone else. That's why I call it the cardiac arrest. It's cardiac catastrophe to everybody else, including the family member, to the country, to the company. Because the moment the heart stops, that's the end.
And what causes the heart to stop?
The most common cause in this country is actually the blood vessel with blockage. All right. So what happens is that the blood vessels is like a pipe. And as we don't take care of ourselves, we eat a lot of cholesterol diet and so on, the cholesterol will actually accumulate in the blood vessels. And as times go by, it makes the blood vessel more and more narrow. And as it reaches a critical point, and suddenly, because of stress, because of pressure and so on, the plaque actually ruptured. And when the plaque ruptures, it totally occluded the blood vessels, and that causing the abrupt stop flow of the blood into the heart muscles, and they're causing the heart attack. And that, you know, if let's say you may feel chest pain, difficult to breathe and so on, but let's say the thing continue, the heart can just stop. And that's when the cardiac arrest occurs.
All right. So as I understand it, if you're describing a heart attack that's caused by blockage in one of the arteries, there's also something called sudden cardiac arrest, which is where the heart rhythm fails and then the heart stops. Is that also on the spectrum that you have described?
Yes. The most common is actually the heart attack, which is acute insult of the blood vessel blockage, causing the insult to the heart, and that causing the cardiac arrest. That's the most common cause that we found. And the other one is actually those people who have previous heart attack causing the muscle damage with the scar tissue, which means that the tissue is already dead. And those scar tissue can present with the abnormal rhythm, and that can cause heart to stop, which is cardiac arrest as well. There's another small category of patients, probably less than 1% of them, have born with abnormal rhythms. And those abnormal rhythm can just appear and make the heart stop, and it present with a cardiac arrest. Yeah. Those are usually younger group of patients. Mm.
So the ones that we hear about that usually makes the headlines, a young fit athlete who suddenly suffers cardiac arrest and, even worse if it's fatal, they would fall into this small group who are born with abnormal heart rhythms?
Yes. Those are young fit, usually young fit, healthy athlete. They usually have present with sudden cardiac death. They usually have abnormal rhythms. And those abnormal rhythms can require the BT or BF. And those abnormal rhythms can stop the heart, and the patient can suddenly pass away. We commonly see some basketball players playing around in the basketball court and suddenly just collapse. We see some of these football players, in the field just suddenly collapse. Those are usually caused by abnormal rhythms from the heart.
And I guess it's shocking in those instances because you think that they are otherwise fit and healthy, right? But well, but then what is it about being an athlete that triggers the cardiac arrest?
No, usually there are some sort of the gene factor involved. Either they have a family history that there's an abnormal circuit in the heart circuit, or they have very thick heart muscles that actually can, you call it dilated, I mean the hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, which has a very thick muscle that actually can have high risk of abnormal rhythms. And those are the patients that actually can have a sudden cardiac arrest. Usually those athletes, nowadays we have, you know, we always advise them to come and see a cardiologist to make an assessment of the heart, whether they have fall into this category or not. But in Malaysia, we do have this category, but not common. But what we commonly found in the newspapers of those celebrities or young people who actually collapse and die, they are all because of diet, usually because of cholesterol causing the blood vessel blockage, and they die. So most of them belong to the lifestyle group, I would say.
We used to hear about heart attacks, heart disease, or, well, you know, coronary heart disease being something we associate with older people. But what are trends in Malaysia showing us now in terms of age? What do you see in your clinic?
Usually those days we said, you know, people who are 50, 60, 70s, you know, 80 years old, they present with a heart problem, heart attack, and they die. But nowadays, we do see more and more in my clinics and getting a lot of people who are in the 30s, 35, 36, 37, 38, 40. They present with, you know, atypical pain. They see some other normal doctors, normal clinics, or even sometimes they see gastro, stomach doctor thinking it's gastric. It's actually turned out to be a heart attack, right? So now we see more and more younger generation of people who are actually having a heart attack at the 30s to 40s. And those are usually all lifestyle. When we go inside to check the blood vessels, it's all cholesterol block causing the heart attack.
All right. And why do people sometimes mistake it for gastro symptoms? What exactly is overlapping there?
All right. Because our blood vessels is, you know, I mean, all of us know that heart attack or heart pain is usually central chest pain, compressing in the chest, sweating, difficult to breathe. Those are classic example of what we was taught. But blood vessels, we have three, all right, in the heart. We have the left anterior descending, left front, circumflex, left circumflex, which is left at the back, and the right, which is supplying the right. So each blood vessel block can present differently in different individuals, especially the right. The right is actually supplying the right side of the heart and is actually neighboring to the stomach. So each time when you have a block at the right coronary artery, you know the pain in the right side of the heart can mimic a gastric pain. All right. So a lot of them, they actually come and see the stomach doctor and say, I got gastric pain. And actually they turn out to be a blood vessel block of the right blood vessel of the heart. So it's very, very common for that to happen. The other one is the left front is typically present with chest pain in the front. And if, let's say, the blockage is higher up, it can present with choking sensation. Some people feel choking, you know. I say, what is it? It's actually the blood vessel block of the left upper front of it. And one of the blood vessels called circumflex is at the back. And that is a bit difficult to pick up. And sometimes people actually present with backache. Right, always go backache, and actually it's actually the blood vessel of the left circumflex actually cause blockage. So different blood vessel blockage present differently depending on the location and how the blood vessels run in every individual.
For some reason now I feel a bit of choking sensation, back pain. okay, I'm very worried right now. But so basically it means that heart attack and which may lead to the cardiac catastrophic event, isn't always that typical somebody feeling pain in the chest and somebody clutching at his heart. That's sort of like the stereotype that we associate with heart attack.
Yeah. The most common, the most common pain that we have is actually chest pain, compressing in nature, a bit difficult to breathe, and profuse sweating. If you see somebody like that, you know, in your office, your workplace, your in your house and things like that, please bring to the hospital immediately. immediately. But of course, there are some of them, depend which blood vessel is blocked. All right, so some present with gastric pain, some present with fainting spell, some present with a backache, some present with a choking sensation, some present with jaw pain, all right? And some of them, they present with, you know, like just difficult to, you know, when they climb upstairs, they just feel breathless. You know, quite a number of my patients actually walk upstairs and they feel breathless and they thought it's gastric wind. It's actually no, it's actually the blood vessel actually blocked. So it can present in many forms, but if let's say the patient is actually not sure, you know, please see one of the doctors in clinic or in the hospitals for further advice.
What about numbness on your left side or left arm? That's something that people think is associated with a heart attack as well?
Numbness is a very common sign, especially during the heart attack time. The numb is usually in the chest, left upper chest, shoulder, and up to the arm. So those are the common sites for chest pain associated with the heart. Let's say the pain is actually numbness or tingling sensation at the finger, that usually never heart. It's too far away from the heart. So those are usually for some other reason, like a backbone problems and things like that.
All right. I'm speaking to Dr. Chong Yun Sin, consultant cardiologist from Park City Medical Center. We'll go for a quick break now. When we come back, let's discuss what should you do, or perhaps a caregiver or bystander, if somebody is experiencing a heart attack or a cardiac arrest, and you know, to help understand what can we do to increase a person's chances of survival. I think that's the most important thing. And then what happens at the hospital, and what do doctors do to manage the situation? If you have questions for Dr. Chong, do call us at 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp 0187-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. My guest today is Dr. Chong Yun Sin, consultant cardiologist from Park City Medical Center. We're discussing how to prevent and how to identify cardiac catastrophe. I guess some people also use the term cardiac arrest. It's basically referring to the spectrum on which a heart attack occurs. A cardiac arrest is the most catastrophic event where the heart stops. Dr. Chong, before this, our station liner was begin forwarded message. And I actually have a WhatsApp message from one of our listeners who's asking to check on the veracity of a particular message that I have seen being forwarded by lots of people as well about how to survive a heart attack when you're alone. So I think our listener wants to find out if there's truth to some of this so-called advice on this message. But before I get to that, what can we do when a cardiac arrest occurs? Is there actually time to do anything in order to save the person?
It's actually very interesting questions, and also depend what happened to you at that point in time and where are you, all right? So what happened is that, let's say, if the cardiac arrest occur and your heart stop, you know, you were in knock off and basically you can't do anything much. But, let's say, the heart is not stopped, you have a heart attack, you know that this is a heart attack or likely to be a heart attack. And, you feel severe chest pain and not comfortable, difficult to breathe, sweating, and you know that, this is a heart attack, but your heart is still beating. There are a few things that we can do, all right, if you're alone. Number one is call for help. First thing is call for help because, if let's say the heart stops, you can't call for help. Call for help through the mobile phone or through anybody else surrounding you. And if you have aspirin, please take aspirin as 300 milligrams, all right? So it depends how much is it. So they have a few patients of mine who stay in some part of Africa or some part of Latin America. They just swallow aspirin and they just go to the hospital. So that is one of the way to do. A few years ago, one of the paramedics, medical assistant in Western Perth or Western Australia, who actually had a heart attack. And he's alone. He's alone in that small clinic. So what he do is like he do an ECG himself, and he send a picture to the consultant in the city center in the Perth.
Wow.
And confirm that it's a heart attack. And he put a line himself, and he inject the the thrombolytic medication, you know, by himself. And they actually saved him. And during because the medicine actually lies the clot, and that gave him enough time for the helicopter to come and pick him up. Right, so it's actually world news. That is something very amazing, but not everybody can do it. But as a layman, please call for help. Number one, you know, whatever help you can get. Number two is that if you have aspirin on board, you know, or you know, in the pockets or whatever is it, please take two or three tablets and then go to the nearest hospital if you can.
So, you mentioned if you've the person has lost consciousness or knock off, as you said, then you know if somebody is around that person, a family member or friend or bystander, what can that person do?
If let's say the bystander, colleague, friends, or who found that somebody is actually having a heart attack, if he's still conscious, you know, please bring him to the hospitals immediately, the nearest hospitals, emergency department, as early as possible. That will help to save life. If unfortunately the patient's actually heart stop, right, we call it cardiac arrest, then the bystander have to perform a CPR. First thing is to call for help. The second thing is to perform a CPR if he know how to do the CPR. And if let's say the surrounding there is a automatic external defibrillator available, they can actually use that as well.
All right. What is the window of opportunity that, you know, immediate action will really help to ensure that the patient can be kept stable before they get to the hospital? Is there a window?
If, let's say, the patient is actually fully alert, all right, I mean, the chances of surviving is very good. You can quickly bring to the hospitals. If, let's say, the patient is actually cardiac arrest and lost consciousness, and that is very, very critical because as the heart is not pumping, the blood is lack of oxygen and the brain can only allow about 4 to 5 minutes of lack of oxygen and the brain will be dead. So as a bystander, if you can perform the CPR immediately, you know the chances of survival is improved. But if, let's say, every minute that you wasted by just watching of the patients, the survival rate drop by 7 to 10% every minute.
All
every
right.
minute. Yeah. So fast action is very, very mandatory for the survival of the patient.
So this WhatsApp message that I referred to earlier that was sent by a listener, and I guess it would be helpful to find out whether this is indeed true or something that we should do. It says that in the case, if you experience a heart attack, if you're alone, you can help yourself by coughing repeatedly and very vigorously, taking a deep breath before each cough. Make sure your cough, you know, when you exhale it out, is deep and prolonged. Now, is this true?
Not fully true because, you know, let's say you have a heart attack, you're still all right, then you can actually, you don't have to cough excessively, you know, your heart's still beating. But sometimes in cases that when your heartbeat going slower and slower and slower, yes, you know, coughing does help to stimulate the reflexes for the heart to boost up a little bit. But the thing is that if you lost consciousness, you can't cough anymore. You can't cough anymore, all right? So what happens is that in those situations, then you need to do a CPR, you need to do a chest compressions, you know, to boost up the heart back again.
All right. So that coughing thing may be of help if your heart attack is not so severe that you've lost consciousness.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
All right. So assuming CPR is carried out and an ambulance or the patient is brought to the hospital very quickly, what would be the next course of action when the patient arrives at the hospital?
You know, any heart attack patient arrive in the emergency department is a red zone. It's the first priority out of all the patients, right? If you have a heart attack, you come to the emergency department, it's red zone. Heart attack is the first priority, right? Regardless of anything else. So what we do is that we to see how to confirm it's a heart attack by doing the ECG. And also we look at how stable is the patient. You know, the blood pressure, rhythm, and so on, and oxygen, whether there's any other issue with the breathing and so on. And first thing we do is that once we confirm that, we will give them the blood thinner, all right, usually like Plavix, aspirin, to quickly dissolve whatever clot they have, within the blood vessel so that it can open up and make the blood flow into the heart muscle to rescue as much heart muscle as possible. And once that is done, and we will usually we will go in and try to do something called emergency angiogram, right, through the hand or the wrist to look at the blood vessels of the heart and to unblock whatever clot there is. Yeah, right. That is a standard treatment nowadays.
And then the patient comes, looking ahead to longer term management would really be something that the patient works out with a cardiologist, for example, like yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. We have a question here from Robert, and it's related to the heart rhythm, abnormal heart rhythm issue you brought up earlier. Robert's asking, what is cardiac fibrillation? And you did cover a little bit about that already, but how is it treated?
Fibrillation is basically, it's just that the heart is ineffective pumping, it's just fibrillating. Fibrillating means it's just shaking, right? The heart is shaking, but it's not pumping. Alright, so when you look into the ECG, it's called fibrillation. And those fibrillation means that the heart is not pumping and is almost equivalent to heart is stopped. And these are shockable rhythm, and you must stop it immediately by shocking the rhythm to terminate the rhythm so that it go back to normal. Alright. So you will see, if any one of us in the hospital, we see a fibrillation rhythm, we have to ventricular fibrillation rhythm, we have to stop it immediately.
And by shocking the heart, you use something like a defibrillator.
Correct. It could jumpstart.
Oh, right. Yeah. You talked about that, right? When you talked about CPR earlier, if you're out in the community, shopping mall or school, public spaces like that, if you're trying to do CPR, if you have an automated external defibrillator on hand, that will really help when doing CPR.
When you see a cardiac arrest, persons happened, if you perform CPR and activate the automated external defibrillator, 40% of the cardiac arrest can be saved. 40%, which is very, very significant. A lot of times we need to train the public more into CPR and how to use automated external defibrillator. But it's just that the automated external defibrillator, or AED, is not widely available in this country. All right, so you only found it in airports, some major corporations, some major big shopping mall. Other than that, you don't find it at all. But when I go to developed country like places like Switzerland, Monaco, you can even find this automated external defibrillator in the taxi stand, bus stop. Every corner you can find this kind of devices. So whenever the person's actually a heart stop, they can actually straight away utilize these kind of devices.
And in fact, Raz has messaged in to make a comment. He says that some officers have these AEDs, but no one teaches the staff of the officers or the employees how to properly use it. So that's got to come in hand, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Let's say the buildings, some of the new buildings or shopping mall or airport, they have AED device. It is the responsibility of the management team to actually educate the residents of the buildings to how to use this device. Right.
Absolutely. All right. We have a couple more questions that are coming in on WhatsApp, but we'll just go for a quick break and get our Bursa update as well before we come back to address those questions. I'm speaking to consultant cardiologist Dr. Chong Yun Sin from Park City Medical Center. We are discussing how to prevent cardiac catastrophe today. And that's something that we haven't actually discussed yet. So we'll continue that conversation. Prevention really is key. We've talked about what to do when it happens, but how can we manage the risk to prevent it in the first place? Very quickly, you can call us. This is your last chance to ask your questions. 0377 332 900, WhatsApp 0187 89 8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be right back after the market update. BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. Welcome back to the show with me, T. Xiaoyik. On our Health and Living segment today, Dr. Chong Yun Sin, consultant cardiologist from Park City Medical Center. We're discussing how to recognize cardiac arrest and what to do to prevent it. And we've talked about the very, very important actions to take if you are experiencing a heart attack. You know, depending on how mild or severe it is, what you are able to do at that point, or what a person around you can do to improve your chances of survival as well. But if we take a few steps back, Dr. Chong, what can we do to prevent a heart attack from occurring in the first place in terms of managing the underlying heart conditions that lead to it?
Basically, the heart attack is because most commonly is because of the blood vessel actually blockage. And that is because of lifestyle. And a heart attack or heart blood vessel blockage is a preventable disease. It's a lifestyle disease. And today, you know, a lot of time we see all the patients that these are the preventable disease. So what you do is that, you know, we encourage screening. We encourage screening. So regular screening once a year, you know, doing blood tests to see whether your cholesterol level is normal, and then your sugar level, is it all right? To do a simple ECG to make sure that the rhythms are all right, and to do a simple ultrasound to make sure your heart pump is strong. There's no thickening of the muscles. There is no weakening of the muscle, which can cause a sudden death. There is no weakening of the heart pump and so on. And a yearly stress test will be helpful to see whether there's any possible blood vessel blockage as a screening tool. All the screening tool is available. It's just that whether any individual want to take it up as a routine screening for yearly process or not. But of course, those people who have a high cholesterol, high BP, you know, sugar and so on, they need to optimize the control. If the sugars are not optimized, the chances of having a blood vessel block is about 4 times of normal. Let's say the cholesterol is very high, you are actually looking for troubles to make the blood vessel of yourself to be clogged up. Smoking is actually very, very bad. And smoking actually damages the blood vessels in the heart. And that actually aggravates the cholesterol deposit along the blood vessel. That is why smoking actually increases the risk of a heart attack by 4 times. Right? So basically, a heart problem is actually a preventable lifestyle disease. And if you can control your lifestyle much better, you know, it should be lower to as minimal as possible. And if you can do screening yearly, you know, this catastrophic or cardiac arrest can be lower to the minimum.
So can you actually have heart disease, but, you know, be able to completely prevent having a heart attack at all?
Yes. If you, let's say, example, if a person come and see me, you have a coronary artery disease, we identified it, and let's say it is moderate, you know, early or moderate disease, so let's say 30, 40, 50%, and we identified it. So we identify your risk factors, you know, what is your cholesterol level, sugar level, whether you smoke or not, and how's your lifestyle is and so on. By controlling all these risk factors and put you on medication to make the blood vessels more dilated, make the blood thinner and so on, a heart attack can be prevented. You know, you can actually prevent the cholesterol formation, further worsening the blood vessel blockage.
Mm. Yeah. So we have a question from a listener here on WhatsApp who I think is picking up on some of the different ways that a heart attack can present that you talked about earlier. Like, you may have something that feels like a backache, or you may have something that you think would be gastric pains. Now, how do you know that, you know, those symptoms are not a heart attack? Well, how would you differentiate them? Because I think there would be people who think it's probably just a backache. You know, I don't want to go all the way to hospital just to get it checked out.
Yeah. Let's say you are very stable patients and things like that. You can always see either the normal clinics, all right, to ask for consult and then see whether this pain, is it a heart pain or non-heart pain, all right? But if you want to see a specialist, also can. We can, you know, I mean, then we will try to differentiate whether that pain is come from the heart or non-cardiac origins. Of course, in between, we can do some of the tests to rule out some of the causes, all right? But whatever is it, the heart pain is the most dangerous one, because it can really stop your heart and kill you.
All right. A question from T.H. Lim. Well, two questions from T.H. Lim. So the first one is it better to lie down or sit up while waiting for help to arrive after you've taken aspirin?
Let's say you're stable, you can actually walk to the hospital. But the thing is that any patient who have heart attack, we ask them to lie down. We ask them to lie down because anything can happen. You know, the abnormal rhythm or the heart can stop anytime. You know, I always tell the patients and the relative, I say, if you have a heart attack, 70% of the time, you may not be able to reach the hospitals. And even though you manage to reach the hospital, the heart is unstable or not stable. So the heart can stop anytime along the way, you know, in the emergency department, in my operation room, or even in the ICU. So usually for heart attack patient, we want complete rest. Complete rest, lie down. Yeah.
So meaning even after the initial event, if you can call it that, you know, let's say in the next half an hour or hour, it could be a series of other events that happen.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. T.H. Lim is also asking, is it true that most heart attacks occur because of diastolic rather than systolic problems?
No, I don't agree with that. Usually what happens is that heart attack, a lot of time is because of such, one of the things is that because of pressure, systolic pressure suddenly surged to very high. All right. So usually in person who are very stable, all right, they have maybe 70-80% of the blockage, but they don't feel it. And what happens is that for some reason they become agitated, angry, you know, overworked or involved in a quarrel, and the pressure actually shoot up to maybe 180, 200. And that pressure actually push the plug and crack the plug. The moment the plug is actually ruptured, you form blood clot formations around the area, and that actually block the blood vessels and causing a heart attack.
Mm. So in cases of extreme stress, that can happen.
Yeah.
We have Aaron Ng asking, and the question is quite specific, but maybe you can answer it more generally considering, you can't actually examine Aaron. Aaron's saying that he's recently done a health screening test. His results show that he has a low heart rate and a first degree AV block. He's asking, should he be concerned?
Usually if you have, you know, after the screening test, let's say after the screening test, any abnormality should be referred to the specialist. You know, the specialist will look at you and then advise accordingly. But let's say how low heart rate, it can be a normal low heart rate. You know, first degree heart block usually are not worrying. Usually it's the one, the second degree or the third degree, that one you have to act on it. All right.
What does the degree refer to?
The heart actually have first degree heart block, second degree heart block, and third degree heart block. First degree heart block can be commonly occur among elderly or aging people. That is basically the rhythm still go down and it doesn't cause any problem. It's a third degree heart block is the one that actually we have to act immediately and usually require a pacemaker.
So for somebody like Aaron or anybody who has some sort of health screening test,
let's say for somebody who actually done a screening test and they found abnormal findings in the blood test or ECG or stress test, they should actually seek the consult from the specialist, you know, before making further things. Yeah.
Don't just let your screening test end there, right?
You need
to know what to do next. Chia is asking, he says he used to smoke. He has since quit. But he wants to know, could his previous smoking history cause future threats or cause future side effects to his heart?
If let's say he stopped smoking, the risk of smoking is after 10 years is dropped by half. So the thing is that the earlier you stop smoking, the better is it, all right? Of course, let's say after smoking now, you come and see me and I check everything is fine, then the risk of getting a heart attack or blood vessel blockage is very low.
All right. Good news for good encouragement for smokers to quit as early as possible. Dr. Chong, do you have a final message for what we've been discussing today?
Because I do to see every day a lot of people who have heart attack, who have blood vessel block, I realize that it's actually a lifestyle disease and everything goes through the mouth. So it depends what you eat, all right? So, you know, basically is that if you stay healthy, you eat more vegetable, more fruits, more lean meat and more fish, then you stay healthy, you know, your cholesterol levels keep as low normal, then you'll be fine. And, you know, smoking is no in heart problems, all right? So smoking actually invite inflammatory process in the blood vessels and that causing blockages of the blood vessels. I always say you pay money to buy disease in smoking. If you have diabetic, please control the sugar level to as normal as possible. All right. Usually, I want the HbA1c for 3 months average sugar to be 6.5 and below. All right. Blood pressure, please optimize it to the control level of 120, 130 systolic. That'd be nice. And do a yearly screening. All right. Screening include blood tests, simple ECG, simple stress tests. And nowadays, we have modern technology like heart scan that you can actually visualize the blood vessels to see whether any blockage. So all the technologies, all the knowledge we already have to prevent cardiac arrest, all right? So all these tests, let's say if we do pick up early, we can treat early, and all these catastrophic can be prevented, all right? So heart disease is overall is a preventable disease. All right. So if you take care of your lifestyle, if you do regular screening and you have problems and we treat early, all right, this cardiac arrest can be prevented.
And you prevent heart disease or a heart attack by watching what you put in your mouth, right?
Yes.
Food or cigarettes?
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Chong. I've been speaking to Dr. Chong Yun Sin, consultant cardiologist from Park City Medical Center. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.